Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 186 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of January 26th, 2018. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me tonight is shirtless Rambo clone Dan Ryan.
I was trying to think of like what a shirted Rambo clone would look like.
Not a good one.
Like I don't. Yeah. Like I think it would just look like Cobra.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like Marion Cobretti. It's my name. It's Marion Cobretti. Fucking serious? Come on.
It's time for the first 10, 20, 30 of 2018. Dan's exhausted. I feel like garbage. But before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line. You can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello because we always want to hear from you, the listener. And I'm not kidding. We always want to hear from you, the listener.
We do.
We do.
We also want you to give us your money.
We do? I mean, we do.
Yeah, totally.
Sure, go for it. Hook us up.
Send us money.
Send your pictures Patreon. To dear old Captain Noah. Regional humor. Dan, what's new?
Oh, good God.
How you doing?
Oh, I am exhausted, Chris. Friend of the show, Lord Helmet, made his way down to the humble abode last evening. And I haven't seen him for a while, so he was hanging out. And I didn't get to bed till super late. And it was totally worth it. Because I love that man to little bitty pieces, but I am tired now because I had to get up and go to work. And my wife did make a sweet Hylian Shield cake, though.
Yeah, she did. I saw pictures of it, like, just before the show.
It's pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
No, I can't. How are you?
Well, I've had a heck of a week. Well, let's see.
Have you?
Well, I mean, government shutdown. I got furloughed for a couple of hours, so
that's pretty
that was
cool.
Neat.
But you're back to work.
I'm back
right?
to work as of like 9 this morning. I usually start at 8, but even though they temporarily put the government back in position, I had to hang out for a little while until my company sent the letter, the email that said you can go back to work now. And so I went back to work today, and that was fun.
That's fun. But you had yesterday off.
Oh, half of it. So I went in. And for like 4 hours, and my boss called me into the conference room and said, we're going to be fine. You know, every other time there's been a government shutdown, our contract has been fine. And I'm like, all right, well, that's cool. Go back to my desk. Half hour later, calls back at the conference room. We've inexplicably been furloughed. Nobody knows why. So, like, all of our government directors were still there. Like, everyone was getting, everybody who was involved in it was there. It was just our team had to go home. That was a big old stack of butts. But I have That's been fun. Playing some video games, and that is always good. So I finished Mario Odyssey. It is done.
Right.
Did I do this last week? Did I finish it last week?
No
I didn't finish it last week. All right.
I am affirming what you've
got. Gotcha, yes. I hit the 500 moon mark, and that opened up the darker side of the moon, which is fucking bullshit. Let me just say that right now. That was bullshit. It's absurdly hard, and like kind of unfairly hard. It might have just been because I was tired and I was staying up late to finish it, because I was like, all right, I just gotta finish this. But there's like there were a couple of spots in there where I was like, all right, there's no way that I would have known that was gonna react like that, because nothing in the history of Mario has ever reacted like that. Like, there's a platform at the end of this. There's this whole chunk where you gotta stand on these moving platforms, and all these little spiky rainbow creatures are jumping at you. And it's like, you gotta dodge them, because if you try to attack them and you miss, there's all these, like, certain, like, giant rings of death that shoot out at you if you miss the bad guys and hit one of these weapon things. And they're everywhere, so when the ring hits another one, it'll shoot off a ring. And then it just is this giant chain reaction of death rings flying everywhere. So you just...
Well, that sounds terrible.
It's terrifying, but, you know, it's hard, but it's like, it's a thing, it's there, and you get to the end of it, and the platform stops, and I took a split second to breathe, right? Because in Mario games, in 3D Mario games of the last, like, 20 years, when a platform stops, it shakes before it disappears. Usually it falls into the ground.
Yeah.
It shakes. There's some sort of indication. This time...
Yeah, there's a little visual cue that shit is about to go down.
Yeah, like, get off this platform. You need to move on. There was no indication within the first one solid second of that platform stopping. It just vanishes. There's no animation for it or anything. It just vanishes. It's just there, and then it's off like a light switch. And that was almost at the end, and it sucks because it's a super long level and there are no checkpoints. So it's like, all right, back to the beginning with you. Fuck. It was brutal. It was brutally hard, and I'm glad I'm done with it. And so I was...
That sounds terrible.
It was, it was worth it at the end. I felt a nice sense of accomplishment after finishing that, but I was not having fun in the middle of playing that. That was probably one of the first parts of Mario Odyssey I was genuinely not enjoying.
I just, we just found our copy of Mario Odyssey, because, I don't know if you know this about the Switch there, Chris, but the games are really small.
They are.
And when you give that to children who are not careful with things, well, your copy of Mario Odyssey ends up in your daughter's shoe.
You should go digital, my friend.
For some inexplicable reason, we couldn't find Mario Odyssey because it was in my daughter's shoe.
It's a good place for it.
So now... the kids have to come downstairs and ask me when they want to change the game because I don't trust them with their $60 postage stamp.
It's a smart idea. I have all mine in a carrying case that has like the individual slots for the games, and like
that's where
it stays. But that goes they're up on the shelf.
They're not going to put them in there though. Mm. Like that's
how
the
often
thing.
Are they changing games? I guess they're
not often enough to where this should be a problem.
Probably not. You should totally just go digital. If I had kids on one platform,
I gotta get a bigger memory card.
Yeah, I just got one of those. I think I talked about that on the show. I got a bigger SD card, which makes me happy because now room is not an issue and won't be for quite some time. So my plan was originally finish Mario Odyssey, move on to Yooka-Laylee, but I decided instead of doing that, I should play the Zelda DLC. So I hopped right into the Champion's Ballad, and it has been since October since I've even turned on Zelda, and I think it's been even longer than that since I actually actively played it. But boy, it felt really nice getting back into that game, because now I'm
just like slipping on an old pair of boots.
Yeah, like riding a bike, and I fired it up, and it did the whole thing where it tells you what's happening, like Zelda's voice shows up and is all like, hey, you should go to these places and check them out. There's things that you can do there now. Go back to the first spot in the beginning of the game, the place where you woke up. Go there, there's stuff. And so before I did that, I noticed that there was a guardian in the distance. Now, I remember when I started this game, I was terrified of guardians.
Yes, you were.
But now I have the Master Sword, and I'm not impressed by guardians anymore. And so I decided, let's see if I still got it. I went right up to him. I did a nice parry shot, zapped his laser right back in his eyeball, ran over to him, took all of his legs, killed him. Felt really good.
Took all of his legs.
Yeah, it's what's great about Guardians is once you get bold enough to just go up to them, you can just start chopping their legs off, and they hate that.
Well, I mean, I would have to imagine I would hate that. I mean, were I in their position?
They fall down, and like they have several legs, so they'll still like get up and try to move if you chop off like a bunch of them. But when you get them down to one, they just look sad. And they still go trying to shoot lasers at you, but you're standing right in front of them, so you just keep running around in circles. They can't hit you. You just chop off all their legs, and they become these useless husks with lasers shooting out of their eyes, and then you kill them, and it's awesome.
There you go.
God, I love that game. So you go to you go back to the place where you started the game, and then you get this like crazy tuning fork of death. It's called the one hit obliterator, and as soon as you get it, all of your life drains except for one quarter heart. So basically, you can't use any healing items. And you can kill anything in one hit, but anything can kill you in one hit.
Mm.
So you have to go to these places that are marked on your map. And they say, all right, go over here, and you're going to kill a bunch of dudes. And once you kill a bunch of dudes, a new shrine will show up. And then you have to do the shrines. And you have to do all of this with the one-hit obliterator, which is ridiculous. So naturally, I accidentally choose the hardest one first.
Of course.
So I go to the area, I kill a bunch of these dudes, and I really just... stayed back and spammed arrows and did stealth for a while. Because every time I tried to go gung-ho, somebody would, like, hit me in the foot with an arrow and I'd be dead. I'm like, God damn it, I'm supposed to be invincible at this point.
Son of a bee sting.
So I go into the new shrine that shows up, and there's just spikes everywhere. It's just walls, ceilings, blocks are falling on you with spikes, and spikes as far as the eyes can see, and you gotta move through with surgical precision, because if you so much as brush up against them, you're fucking dead. But then the rest of it was really cool, and now I'm working on the second part of it, where you're going around doing all these other shrines and getting these different orbs so you can fight harder versions of all the bosses from the Divine Beasts. It's really cool. It's awesome. I love being back into the world. I'm just right back to being obsessed with it. I want to play it all the time and play a few more minutes of Doom. I haven't really had much time with Doom in the last week, but I've got my list of things. I got my list of things to do. Like, I have a to-do list of games that I'm going to hit. And I'm going to do my very best.
It's nice to have that, isn't it?
You know what? It's one of my things, like, this year. I really want to play through all the games that I want to. I don't want to leave anything on the table if I can help it this year.
Right.
So I'm trying to really prioritize the things that I'm doing. I've got the Breath of the Wild DLC, which as soon as I finish that, I'm moving on to Yooka-Laylee. If I don't finish that game, I won't be heartbroken, because if I don't finish it, that means that I don't like it all that much, which I know that that's a risk, but I really want to try this anyway. Because I feel like the game deserves my attention. So I want to give it a solid try. And then after that is Kirby. But simultaneously, I need to finish Doom. And then I need to finish Bayonetta. And then I need to finish Bayonetta 2. Because both of those games are coming out in February.
Right.
And then all throughout this, the longer term things are Spelunker, Super Meat Boy, Celeste, Mighty Gunvolt Burst, and Blossom Tales. In no particular order. Just kind of as I get to them.
And then you have to buy a PS4.
No.
Yes.
No.
No, that's what has to happen.
Because this game plan right here covers me to, like, the end of April. So I have until the end of April to finish all of this shit. And
that's doable.
It might be. I mean, depends on how much time I put into Yooka-Laylee and how long Kirby is. And I don't know how long the Bayonetta games are.
And it depends... It depends on how many more times the government gets shut down.
That's also true. I could have more time in 3 weeks when the resolution passes.
You know what the best thing in the world is, though, Chris?
What's that?
420 this year. The day after my wife's and I's... That's probably not how that's supposed to be said, but I'm tired, so fuck it. The day after our anniversary... This year, 10 years of wedded bliss. On 420 this year, God of War comes out for PS4.
Wow. I didn't realize that comes out on the same day as the Labo. I don't think there's going to be a lot of competition between those two.
Wow, no, there's not going to be a lot of crossover, but it's going to be a big day, Chris.
It's going to be a big day. Because I saw the story trailer today. It is looking good.
God of War comes out on April 20th. Super Troopers 2 also comes out on April 20th, which, that's just, like, we are living a blessed life. We are getting Super Troopers 2 and God of War on the same day, and Labo. It's just...
It's going to be a heck of a day to be you.
It's going to be a heck of a day to be me. I agree.
Of course, what day isn't a heck of a day to be you?
Today, I'm really tired.
Well, in that case, let's get this train rolling here. Let's do the 10, 20, 30. So, if you're new to the program for some reason, welcome. What we do once a month...
Give us your money.
Yeah, give us all your money. What we do once a month is something called the 10, 20, 30, where we talk about games that released 10, 20, and 30 years ago on this particular month. So here we are, January. Let's flash back 10 years and talk about all the wonderful games that came out in January of 2008, of which there were five.
Five.
January is a pretty light month. So.
Usually, yeah. I mean, it was... And will be in the future every year that we do this.
Yeah. I mean, really, yeah. What game? January is not usually a huge month for new releases because many people just got brand new consoles and they have all the games behind them. You know, like people got games for Christmas. So not a lot of reason to dump some big fat releases in January. But
there are some good ones.
Are some good ones here. First up, there was a Harvey Birdman Attorney at Law was released for the Wii.
I've never played it. Have you?
I have not. I bought it. So excited to play it, and then I just didn't get around to it. And I think it was because of the time when this was, you know, the time when this was released, and also the other games that came out this month.
Is it like Ace Attorney?
From what I've come to understand, it's Ace Attorney, but Harvey Birdman, which sounds wonderful to me.
Yeah,
I believe it got pretty solid reviews. Like, not was this amazing?
This a port of the PS2 game?
I believe the PS2 game was a port of this.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, yeah, 2008, I suppose it would be.
Let's see. Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law video game was... It just says it was released on January 8th, 2008. It may have been... Oh, it was developed for the Wii. Yeah, developed for Wii, PS2, and PSP. So, yeah, I think it came out on the same day for all platforms. So, yeah, wasn't a port. Really, it was developed for those systems.
I don't know why I never played it. I mean, I do know why I never played it, because, like, it's a Harvey Birdman game. Like, I love the Harvey Birdman show, but I can't imagine a game being all that great. You know,
well, if it and plays maybe that's like Ace just Attorney,
some me shit, but
it's like Ace Attorney, then I'm all for it. I was clearly all for it because I freaking bought it. I was like, if this is because I loved Ace Attorney, and if this is it's from Capcom, it's got Street Fighter cameos in it, like it sounds delightful to me, and I should really maybe go back and play it at some point.
Yeah, maybe I'll get around to it.
It wasn't very expensive.
It was
either.
A Capcom game.
Yeah. It's Capcom. That's why I believe it has so much in common with Ace Attorney. It was such a smart idea. You know, let's make this quasi cult popular hit that is hilarious into a basically an interactive episode. I'm game. I should really try this. I really should. I'm so pissed at myself that I never got around to playing this, and now it's been 10 freaking years.
Mr. Bootylicious, your witness. Mentok, the mind taker.
I mean, just the cover fantastic. Art is fantastic.
I'll make you teensy.
I'll make you fun size. I adored this show. I really
do. Oh my God, this show is fantastic.
It is wonderful.
Blue Falcon, the episodes with him are fantastic. The, Dr. Bannon, Race Bannon.
Yeah.
I taught the kids bases ball. Funny.
You know what? Anyway. And this right here, the reason I never play this is why I'm trying to adhere to this strict schedule this year. Because I don't because want stuff like
stuff
this.
Like this comes out and we miss it.
Yeah, and it just slips through the cracks. Even though I went out and bought it, it is sitting in my garage right now. I should add this to the list of things to play this year.
All right, let's do it at the pain in the ass-a-thon this year.
That would be awesome.
I'm down. All right, sold. One game in.
One game
All
in.
Right.
All right. Next game on our list today is Burnout Paradise for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. I freaking love this game.
I adore Burnout Paradise.
Burnout Paradise is wonderful. Is this the one I was just playing recently?
This is, I believe, getting a re-release. Am I crazy in thinking that?
No, I don't think you are. Some flavor of Burnout is getting a re-release. I think it is Paradise.
I'm pretty sure it's this one. This is the one where you could download the DeLorean and the Ecto-1, right?
I'm lost there. I didn't mess with any DLC on any Burnout games.
I believe this is the one.
I don't even know if I own this one, actually. Do I own this one? I know I have the Xbox ones. I have Burnout 1, 2, 3, and... What's the fourth one? Burnout Farts. That was it.
Burnout Farts.
Xbox. I have Burnout, Burnout 2, Burnout 3, Takedown, Burnout Revenge. That's the one I'm thinking of. Burnout Paradise. Do I even have this game? I don't have this game. Yeah. I'm confused. I don't think I've ever actually played this game before.
This one has motorcycles.
Yeah, no, I've never played this one before.
Okay. Yeah, it's I mean, it's more Burnout, which there's nothing wrong with that.
No, because Burnout's awesome.
Burnout is awesome. I do believe this is getting a remaster, though. Like, I think it was... I mean, so we're recording this show on the 23rd of January. I think it was leaked. Like, wasn't supposed to come out, but, you know, it is. Like, we all kind of know it now. And I do think this was the one that had the DLC.
Burnout Paradise HD Remaster confirmed for PS4.
Has it been confirmed already?
See, that's what this article from Nintendo Life says.
Chris, we did not do enough research this week. I got to be honest with you.
No. I mean, I guess. Well, I didn't know this was a thing. It's kind of neat. Yay, Burnout.
Yeah, I'll buy this again.
Hey, if this comes out on Switch, I'll buy it. I would love
to imagine it would. Portable Burnout?
That would be
that
amazing.
Excellent idea.
I would absolutely buy that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, okay, yes. I just looked it up just to make sure. The DeLorean, the Ecto-1, the Kit from Knight Rider, and the General Lee from Dukes of Hazzard. Now, they are not official. You know, it's not called the Ecto-1. It's called, like, the Hunter Manhattan Spirit. But, yeah, you could have all those. And the DeLorean flew, like, Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Now, this is interesting. According to this article, which is from January 5th, so it's not that old. According to this, it seems that EA only has plans to release this on PS4 in Japan, not Xbox One, although it might come out on Xbox One elsewhere in the world.
Yeah, nobody likes the Xbox One in Japan.
No, not at all. But there were some rumors from Brazil, apparently, that stated that there was a Switch version of the game, but it has not been mentioned anywhere. So,
Was this the first Burnout where it was the open world, where, like, instead picking the events, you would drive around to get to them?
That might be the case.
Yeah. Because
I've never played one that's like that, and I remember hearing about that, thinking, that doesn't sound exciting to me.
It sounded, in theory, it sounded way worse than it actually was. You were, like, literally seconds away from an event. You know what I mean? Like, you just, like, oh, there's one around the corner. Like, it didn't take a while to get to them.
It was like finding fares in Crazy Taxi.
Yeah, no. Like, it was super, super easy. Like, and every now and again, you'd be like, oh, well, I want to do this race, and then I want to do this race, and they're at the other side of the map. But it's Burnout, so it takes you a minute and a half to get there, and it has good music, and you're still driving. Like, it's still, the game is still fun on your way there, you know? Yeah, well, this game's good. Awesome. Yeah. Well, yay, Burnout. Oh, Burnout.
Fingers crossed for a Switch port. Let's see. No More Heroes came out for the Wii, and this is probably why I didn't play Harvey Birdman.
Probably.
Because I had to play No More Heroes.
No More Heroes is such a weird game.
It really is. It was one of the few instances where I really enjoyed the weird shit they did with the Wii Remote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because the motion controls were smart. Because they weren't like waggle, waggle, waggle to fight. It was all traditional buttons to fight. And then finishing moves were like, now swipe down and it'll slice the guy in half this way.
Yeah.
Like, that's smart. That's how you do that shit. Don't rely an entire game of combat on waggle. That's not fun.
No,
and the thing with the phone using the speaker and the Wii Remote, and you have to hold the Wii Remote up to your ear like a phone to hear what the character is saying. That was
cool.
Clever as hell.
Yeah,
this game's not flawless. Like, it's not a masterpiece of game design, but it's a masterpiece of weirdness, and it is very fun when it works.
Yeah, that's the problem is that it doesn't work nearly as much as we all want it to.
Yeah,
like, it's a far more broken game than we tend to review it as.
Yeah, because it's got this giant, stagnant, desolate open world that you travel around in, going place to place. But the thing is that it's just so damn cool. Travis Touchdown is a ridiculous character, and he runs around with a lightsaber he bought off of eBay. And, like, the bosses are insane. There's, like, masturbation jokes all over the place. It's hyper-violent. And it looks cool. It's got great art direction. And this eventually got remastered on PS3 and 360, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe this even had, like, move controls put in for the PS3 version. Yeah. It is very cool.
It is a very cool game, and I was really happy when it came out, and I loved playing it. I never finished it because, you know, I guess I didn't really finish anything back in 2008. But
no.
I would love to see this 1 and 2 get ported over to Switch to give them another try because... Well, you know, the sort of third one spinoff thing is coming, and we're both excited about that, so...
Right.
I'm glad Travis Touchdown's sticking around.
Yeah, very cool character. The game is not as good as we all make it out to be, like, if we're being honest. But what it lacks in polish, it makes up for in just being very cool.
Indeed. You can forgive a lot when the game is this cool.
Moving on, next war is Advance Wars Days of Ruin came out on DS.
This was the more like hardcore is not the word I'm looking for, but something like that, right? This was the one with the brown cover.
Yes. This one was a little tougher.
That's right, yeah. Dual Strike was the first DS one. Yeah. Yeah. So this one's a little tougher. This was also, I believe, the last Advance Wars game that came out.
I believe so. Yeah, this one went a little bit more realistic. Mm-hmm. Like, still with some wackiness in there, but just wasn't... Like, the core gameplay was still Advance Wars, but, like, the characters and the charm were just... missing.
Yeah, it was a little less colorful. Now it's still got really good reviews. People really liked this game.
Well, the core game, like, if you are into this, which, you know, like I am, it's phenomenal. You know, like, it is still a phenomenal strategy game. But, like, if you were a fan of Advance Wars for some of the, you know, cutesier aspects of it or the more colorful aspects of it, not so much in this one.
Huh.
Still and there, just, like, toughened up a bit.
And then we didn't get another one since. It's been 10 years since we've had an Advance Wars game.
Right. Now, there is the one that is coming out this year for Switch that is not Advance Wars, and... Was that, now, because I'm too
two
tired,
of them, aren't there?
The name escapes me.
Because there's Wargroove and there's something else.
Wargroove, thank you. Yeah.
It sold... How did it... According to VG Charts, how did Days of Ruin do? How did you do?
Yeah, I mean, like, if you just look at pictures of this one compared to the previous entries in the series, it's just like, all right, like, I see what you were going for, but... You missed the mark a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's nice when things get reinvented. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But at least they threw some creativity in it. I just wish they'd make a new one.
I really do, too.
Like, I want more of... There's definitely a contingent of people out there that want more Advance Wars.
Oh, I would love it. I'd absolutely love it.
A lot of people that want, you know... There's a lot of people that are playing Fire Emblem and they're spamming that franchise, which, you know, I guess I get it because it took off. Like, now it's one of their biggest franchises, but yeah. Should leverage some of that business into making a new Advance Wars and see if you can get that to catch on the way it should.
Yeah, for real. Like, it is, some of my favorite gaming memories are playing Advance Wars against Tiff. Like, and we would just hand the system back and forth to each other, you know, playing against each other, like, with the fog of war and all that stuff on, so you couldn't see your opponent's, like, troops and what. It's just a really fun game. A really, really good game. I would love to have more. I hope Wargroove is a worthy successor to it.
It's got all the positive buzz in the world. I got my fingers crossed for you because there's a lot of folks that are hoping that have that same hopes that have those same hopes because, you know, people want more Advance Wars, dadgummit. And Fire Emblem just ain't the same.
It's just not. It really isn't. I've tried. I really have.
Yeah, but Fire Emblem is not for me either. I recognize that it is excellent. It's sure. Not for me.
Sure.
Okay. And I don't have much to say about this last one. I don't know if you do either, but it's worth mentioning that Disgaea 3, Absence of Justice, came out for PlayStation 3 in January of 2008.
Yeah, so one of our listeners, Rob Metzger1 on Twitter, said that he was listening to the show and heard us talking about like the Final Fantasy Tactics games, and had asked me if I had ever played the Disgaea games. And he said he's playing through Disgaea 5 complete right now on the Switch, and it's pretty good. I think Disgaea 3 was the last one I played.
Oh.
I know I played the first two. I think 3 was the last one I played, and I'm going to look it up while we are talking about it. Did you play any of these at all, Chris? Like, have you ever played the Disgaeas?
I have only played a few minutes of the demo of the one on Switch, the 5 mm-hmm. complete, mm-hmm. and it did not grab me. I got a friend of mine, Mauricio, is really, really into this series and right. really wants me to play it. But it just doesn't, it has yet to grab me. So again, it's something that I recognize as super cool. I like watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really like watching people play this game. Like, I'll watch a YouTube video of somebody playing Disgaea and
right.
I find it fascinating, but for some reason when it comes to me playing it, it just doesn't really do it for me. So, nothing personal against it, just I guess it's just another one of those things that's not for me.
What I do like about Disgaea is that it has a very unique world to it and a very mm-hmm. unique art style. Like, it still falls like in, you know, kind of the traditional anime style artwork, but it is very much within the realm of Disgaea. I don't believe this was the last one I played. I think now I have to look it up. You know, it is very distinctly Disgaea, which is nice.
I like that. I do dig the art style of Disgaea. I like the you know, the character designs and stuff, and it's just a neat thing. I think printies are cool, but for some reason it just hasn't clicked with me from a gameplay perspective. So
I think maybe it might be this PSP one was the last one I played. Maybe the Afternoon of Darkness. I think that might be the last one I played. I could be wrong.
Man.
It's been so long, and there's been so many games, and I'm so old now, Chris.
I know the feeling.
Well, that it's just...
Let's take ourselves a break and be old. When we come back, we'll talk about the games from 20 and 30 years ago. Also, complete non sequitur here. Jackfruit looks gross. Just...
Yeah.
God, just a video of somebody, like, peeling jackfruit on show on my Facebook page, and I want to throw up all over it. It looks so disgusting.
Yeah, it's not a great look.
Ugh. Anyway, you're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com. Stick around.
Who is the cat with the beak? Do you really want to feel him? Harvey Attorney, habeas corpus, Marvy Attorney! Harvey Birdman, attorney at law.
And now here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
First up, there have been a lot of Mega Man games over
there
the years.
There sure have been.
There certainly have been.
You got that and, right. I'm a real Don Quixote of Donkey Dookie.
Consequently, a lot of Mega Man weapons. In anticipation of the release of Mega Man 11 coming later this year, probably like December if we're being honest, Chris and Jonathan decided to rank their favorite of those weapons in a head-to-head battle.
You got that right.
And just because there are so many... No, nothing for that
You
one.
Got
okay.
that right.
As a special
I'm a real
bonus
Don Quixote of Donkey Dookie.
As a special bonus for you, they expanded each of their lists to include the top 11 weapons in Mega Man's history for Mega Man 11. Get it? You see what they did there? Because 11.
You got that right.
Stranger Things. Don't miss Geekade Top 10 Mega Man weapons. This one goes to 11. Can I tell you what I would have put at number one?
What would you have put at number one?
Wood shield.
Wood Shield?
Wood Shield.
You mean Leaf Shield?
Leaf Shield. Fuck,
son
I'm tired.
Of bitch.
Leaf Shield.
Why?
You know I would have put Leaf Shield number
because
one?
Because Jonathan's least favorite weapon?
Probably. Just to be a dick. Because it's so useful. Like, there's no other weapon in the game that is more functional in a stage than Leaf Shield.
Please explain.
When you're going up around those platforms, it is the only thing.
What platforms?
The fucking thing. When you're going up around the deal, you're like sitting on the fuck you.
I don't know what you're talking about. I never used Leaf Shield in that game except for to fight Airman himself.
Really?
Because every time you move, it shoots. And you're like, all right, well,
no, I know, but like the
sit still and there's leaves floating around me. That's great, but I'm not getting anywhere.
Yeah, no, there's the one stage with the platforms and you go up all around. I forget what fucking stage it is now. No, I probably would have put Metal Blade.
That's what I put.
I figured. What'd Jonathan put?
Pharaoh Shot.
Wrong.
Respectable, but wrong. It's all about Metal Blade.
It really is.
It's all about Metal Blade and unreleased Syphilin Alley Season 3 references.
Mm-hmm.
You got that
right. Got that right.
What are you a little Donkey Yodi of? Of Donkey Dookie.
Donkey Dookie.
Then, in an all-new Before Their Time, Trish introduces us to the all to the musical answer to Small Town Ennui. For a short time, Jesus H. Christ and the Four Hornsmen of the Apocalypse, which is the greatest band name ever, who is everything you ever knew you never knew you needed to hear to express all your dissatisfaction with the trappings of suburban life, packed into one excellent 8-piece band. Alas, they have all but disappeared, leaving their outstanding 2008 album as their legacy. Check out what makes this band we all makes. Boy, I can't talk or read.
No, or write.
I didn't write this. This was
right. All of this is terrible. Your family has fucked up these commercials. Something
all of
fierce.
You is terrible. Check out what makes this the band we all need today and why we should all be sad they're no longer around. And Before Their Time, Jesus H. Christ and the Four Hornsmen of the Apocalypse.
That is a really great band name.
You got that right.
It's like my second favorite new band name behind Nathaniel Rateliffe and the Night Sweats. That's just so good.
It's pretty good.
Have you listened to them yet?
No.
The song Son of a Bitch is so good. It's so good. Like, you really should. Anyway, finally, Jordan and Brendan talk about children. Children in comics, that is. Between the Power Pack and the next Avengers, there are lots of superpowered youngins to discuss. But wouldn't you know, they don't stop there. They even stick around for a round of answering the tough questions like why are evil snakes with grasshopper legs Jordan's new spirit animals? And does Brendan always imagine Wolverine stabbing little girls? It's a weird show. Be sure to tune in to Nonstop Comic Shop episode 14, Kids Are Alright.
You can catch all this great stuff plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at geekade.com. And we're back. All right. Yeah.
Good job, Chris. Excellent segue.
I'm the best.
Here we are.
I'm the best ever. I'm never wrong.
Deal with it.
That was another one of my favorite Syphil and Ollie bits right there. When Ollie took over the news and Syphil got mad at him and he yelled, I'm never wrong. Anyway.
Who knew it would be so prophetic to modern times?
Who knew? Let's back up to 1998, 20 years ago in January. It was like a couple of heavy hitters, but not much else.
Yeah, this is a weird month.
This is a weird month, and I'm compelled to double check myself because it just doesn't seem right. But according to my records, Resident Evil 2 came out in January. Initial release January 21st, 1998. That's what it says.
In Japan or worldwide?
North America.
actually came out in North America before Japan. Came out in North America January 21st, Japan January 29th, and then PAL territories on April 29th.
No shit.
Yeah, this was a, look at that. That's crazy. And then the DualShock version came out later that year, November 11th. But
I think that's the one I waited for. Might have. I don't remember.
I didn't wait awesome because game. I didn't play this game at all.
You didn't like it?
I didn't play it. I didn't like Resident Evil at the time.
Oh.
I couldn't get it. I couldn't get into it. I didn't like the controls. I tried playing Resident Evil 1. I was like, I can't do this. This is awful. I don't want to play this. This is not fun. And
you're
then I
so
stopped
wrong.
Playing it. I am wrong.
Like you're just so
in
wrong.
In retrospect, I suppose I am wrong. But though the first Resident Evil game I seriously attempted to play was Code Veronica on Dreamcast. Which it just looked so good, I had to try it. And I put some serious effort into it, but I couldn't get around the controls. It just still wasn't fun. And the first Resident Evil game I enjoyed and then played to completion multiple times was Resident Evil 4.
Which is honestly one of my least favorites.
Coincidentally, the last Resident Evil I've ever played was Resident Evil 4.
Like, I know that's crazy talk for a lot of people of saying, like, Resident Evil 4 is not my favorite one, but, like, it's just not my favorite.
If they re-released that game on Switch, I would drop almost everything to replay it again. Like, I like that game that much. It's just so damn good.
I mean, I recognize that it's good, but it's not that good.
I would disagree with that heartily. I think that game's amazing.
I would argue that 2 is better.
I would argue that you are wrong.
2 was awesome. Resident Evil 2 was so good. Because you're right, like, the first Resident Evil game, like, when it came out, it was so different than anything we had ever gotten in America, because we never got, like, Sweet Home, you know? So it was a huge thing when that game came out. And even with it, as cheesy and ridiculous as it is, still just a fantastic game. And then when 2 came out, it was so much bigger. And having, you know, the multiple storylines to play through, tons of unlockable stuff. Like, Resident Evil 2 is just so good. So, so good. Added a spoke to the wheel.
Okay.
That was good, Chris. Well done. I love when our conversation goes that way.
That's the thing. Yep. I've got nothing on this game. The only experience
really
I really have
it.
With Resident Evil 2 was when, like, out of nowhere, it was released on N64. Like, geez, how late was that? Came out in 98, and then it was released on N64 in 1999. It was like
still
a year
too soon.
It was a year later, on Halloween, no less. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember looking at it like, they fit 2 CDs on an N64 cartridge. Mm. These people are crazy.
No, they didn't, actually.
They didn't. I mean, look, it's functional.
Nah, well.
And it was like, it was one of those things that you're looking like, you know, that there's no reason to do this. Like, it's not like the N64 was doing so incredibly well. It needed to have Resident Evil 2 on it, especially after Resident Evil 3 was already out. This was somebody at Capcom saying, I bet you can't do this. And the other person saying, I bet I can.
Fuck you, I will.
I will put 2 CDs worth of Resident Evil on an N64 cartridge. I don't care how much I have to compress it. And I swear that game looked like a Sega Saturn FMV sequence, but it didn't matter because it was functioning Resident Evil 2 on N64, which is just hysterical to me.
It is. But, it is a great game, though.
Absolutely
worth playing.
I'm certain that it is a great game. I couldn't get used to the controls. It just felt so unnatural to me. But
it's a tank.
I wonder if I could go back to it, because I did want to play, like, Resident Evil Remake, and they never properly remade this, right? They remastered this a couple times, but they didn't do, like, what they did with RE1.
Right. It did not get the full treatment.
Which is so weird, because this is, like, the most popular one.
Yeah,
up until,
for good reason.
Up until 4, this was like it. This was the popular Resident Evil.
Well, yeah, because 1 is charming, 2 is fantastic, 3 is like the redheaded stepchild of the family where you're like, well, he's family, so like you come over to Thanksgiving, but like we don't talk to you. Like Nemesis was really weird in that one.
You mean but, Nemesis, as my customers used to call it?
Who the fuck said Nemesis? Like, that's not okay.
Multiple people. Wasn't just one. This was like the weird, the Technu situation where multiple people would come into the Maze Landing Funko Land and ask for Technu. Like,
It's T-E-N-C. It's phonetic, for crying out loud. This isn't a hard word.
Tenchu? God damn it.
And they would come in and ask for Resident Evil Nemesis. And it wasn't just one guy. It was a horde of people.
It's not okay. You didn't sell it to him, did you?
I did. I took their money.
You're like, no, here's a book. Try this shit first.
No, more like, enjoy. This is a lost cause. This is the high point for you. This is as good as it's going to get
for you. It's all downhill after Nemesis.
maybe they'll release a Tecnu 2, which they did.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What were we talking about?
Final Fantasy Tactics came out in January of 1998.
Another game I have no experience with.
Oh, it's so good. There is not enough time in a show like this to really go into Final Fantasy Tactics and why it is so great. Suffice it to say, one of the greatest strategy games of all time.
Is it better than Ogre Battle?
Yes.
Ooh. All right, now I'm gonna get my friend Sean. I'm gonna get Sean Doyle in this show. And the two of you are gonna debate Final Fantasy Tactics versus Ogre Battle.
Tactics has a better story.
Ogre Battle has ogres.
You're not wrong. Final Fantasy Tactics.
I don't even know if there's ogres. I've never played that game.
Final Fantasy Tactics has Final Fantasy characters in it. Has chocobos.
That's true.
What really puts this one over the top is the story to me. It is because it is in the Final Fantasy world. There's just this rich tapestry of bullshit that you could like weave your way through. It's fabulous. It's fantastic.
Oh, man, nothing better than a rich tapestry of bullshit.
I'm so tired, Chris. I'm so sorry.
Me too.
Usually I would have way more interesting and enlightened things to
say. You usually have the best words, Dan.
I usually do have the best words, but right now the president is right. He has the best words. I don't have them currently. Oh, it's a good thing his button is so big, jackass.
The last game we're going to talk about from 1998... is easily my favorite one on this short list, is Marvel vs. Capcom Clash of Superheroes came out in arcades in January of 1998, and this game is awesome.
It is awesome.
Man, I love this game.
Was in the college cafeteria.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was good times. Go and order pizza from the college cafeteria, or chicken cheesesteak, which they actually did a pretty good version of. And while I was waiting for my food, I'd rock some Marvel vs. Capcom. Excellent game.
I saw this first time I saw this game, I think, was in Jilly's Arcade in Ocean City. Mm-hmm. And I remember when they were doing all this, they started doing the crawl. Like, you got X-Men Children of the Atom. And I remember looking at that game like, oh my God, I love the way this looks. Wouldn't it be awesome if they did like more of this kind of thing? And then they did the Marvel Superheroes game. I was like, oh my God, now it's not just X-Men. There's freaking Iron Man and Doctor Doom. And this looks amazing. You know what would be awesome? If Street Fighter looked like this. They should make the next Street Fighter game look like this. And then they did. Street Fighter Alpha came out. I was like, oh my God, this looks amazing. And then they did X-Men versus Street Fighter. It's like, holy crap, X-Men versus Street Fighter. This is awesome. But wait a minute, the next game was Marvel Superheroes. So are they going to do Marvel versus Street Fighter? And they freaking did, and it was awesome. And then I was like, all right, well, where do they go from here? I have no idea. Marvel versus Capcom. And that blew my freaking mind. Because on an arcade screen, Strider, Captain Commando, like, looking amazing in this awesome animated art style that they had rocking at the time, just looks stunning. And all the like the little helper characters, the assist characters, oh my God,
fantastic.
And like I would have loved if those characters would have been in Marvel vs. Capcom 2 as like full playable characters, because just the sprite work is so good in those games. And like Arthur from Ghouls and Ghosts, he didn't show up till MVC3, and he's all polygonal and whatnot. It looked cool in MVC3, don't get me wrong, but man, the polygonal Arthur, Thor was in there, he was as an assist character, and they looked so good in that art style. But man, Marvel vs. Capcom is so freaking amazing. Playing as Mega Man in a fighting game was... I love Marvel vs. Capcom. I do overall like the second one more than the first one.
Oh, sure.
But
this one was just so, like... I mean, because You're right. Like, you saw the X-Men fighting game, and you were like, oh, this Children of the Atom game is pretty sweet, man. And then, like, Marvel's superheroes, and you're like, oh, the Infinity Stones are in this. This is pretty cool.
True.
Like, Spider-Man.
Infinity Stones, you're right.
Spider-Man moves really cool in this game. Like, this is the coolest Spider-Man has ever been in a video game. This is awesome. You know, fucking Blackheart's in here, and that's fucking, or no, that might have been not until Marvel vs. Capcom, but whatever. You know, like, this shit's pretty fucking cool. Like, and it's just a really fun game. And then Street Fighter Alpha's coming out, and then X-Men versus Street Fighter. But even with all of that happening, it was always one of those, like, man, it'd be cool if. But without the thought of this being a possibility. And then when you get Marvel versus Capcom, it's just so mind-blowing that these two universes could somehow exist together. And it work. Like, no, it didn't feel weird that Ryu and Iron Man were fighting each other. It just, they... Capcom was so good at this point. They managed to make it work in a way that, like, when you play Mortal Kombat versus DC, like, nobody beats Superman. The game is stupid. Yeah. You know, like, at the end of the day, this is dumb. You know, like, Sub-Zero against Green Lantern. Stop it. Like, they didn't do a great job. It was a fun game, don't get me wrong. I really... You know, I know how you feel about the NetherRealm games, but, like, I did enjoy the Mortal Kombat versus DC stuff. There was some fun to be had there.
There was some fun to be had there, but...
But it wasn't this balanced fighting game that Marvel versus Capcom and Marvel versus Capcom 2 ended up being. Like, Capcom could really do no wrong at that point.
They were, especially in their arcade stuff. Like, you're absolutely right. Like, they were just knocking it out of the park consistently. And I remember wanting so desperately for, you know, Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter to happen around this time, because I really wanted to see what the Mortal Kombat characters would look like in this art style. Because,
mm-hmm.
man, that would have been awesome.
It really would have been.
But
I would have hated to see the Street Fighter characters in Mortal Kombat style, though.
Yeah, but you did in Street Fighter, the movie, the game.
I've never seen that, Chris. We will never speak of it again.
Oh, you have to see it. You have
to see
it.
I've never seen it. I've never played it. It is not a thing that exists.
It's a masterpiece, Dan.
Chris,
it is hilarious.
If we don't talk about it, it will cease to exist.
I'll never stop talking about it. It's wonderful.
Is the microphone picking up Tiff snoring here on the couch because we've put her to sleep?
No, it is not. At least not that I can hear.
Damn it. My side of the conversation is apparently not entertaining tonight.
God, I'm looking at this screenshot of Arthur in Marvel vs. Capcom, and it just makes me sad that I never got him fully playable in that art direction.
I know. Like, I was bummed out. Like, I like Marvel versus Capcom 3. I like Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom 3. I am still sad that it looks the way that it looks.
Yeah, I miss I would have loved to see them. God, could you imagine what that would have looked like if they said, "All right, this art style mm-hmm. is great, but now let's make it look like Street Fighter 3."
It is why I hope Fighter Z does so well. Or Me does too. As well as it can, because I want fighting games to go back to looking like, I want that hand-drawn sprite style. Even if it's not hand-drawn sprites, I want it to look like it is. I want it to look like Ultra Street Fighter HD.
That would be amazing. Nothing, and I don't want to disparage Street Fighter 4, because I think Street Fighter 4 had a really great art style. Street Fighter 5, we've talked about, doesn't scratch our itches. All right, let's hop back into the Wayback Machine here. And do these in reverse order. That's the way I have them written.
Yeah.
January 1988. We got Karnov for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Game
which
sucks.
Dan and I, we did over the summer. We talked about it in case you missed it. We hate this game.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Didn't know I hated it this much, but in retrospect... It's a pile of garbage.
It really is. I want to like this game because Karnov is an awesome character. This is just a fantastic
character.
Idea.
He's cool design, cool powers, cool levels. Like, everything about the game should work, and it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Which is why WayForward needs to remake this game.
Yeah, WayForward doing... No, oh, yeah, WayForward should remake it. I would love to see... Or maybe NT Creates. Lizard Cube from the folks who did Wonder Boy, but they would have to actually fix the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, don't just, like, don't just make it look good. Like, actually make it playable.
Yeah, that would be cool.
He's so fat. Why does he fall so slow? I'm not a sizist, Chris. You know this about me, but...
There is room in this world for a badass Karnov. Really, somebody is. Make it happen.
Fucking Russian carny who gets fucking fire breath and wings.
Make it happen.
Demon kind of.
Wanting to punch a dinosaur in the face.
Right? There's really good ideas in this game.
Karnov versus Altered Beast crossover.
Yes.
It'd be amazing.
Make it happen.
Karnov. Karnov, Altered Beast, Battletoads, and Double Dragon. All together, Battle Royale versus the Ninja Turtles.
It's just... Data East made some awesome games, but they also made some utter dog shit. We should do a whole Data East episode.
We should do a Data East episode. That's a great idea.
Like, Data East is one of those companies that some of the younger members of our audience, like, they probably haven't played the RoboCop game that Data East made, and that's a shame.
They may not have played Bad Dudes.
That's terrible.
As is Bad Dudes.
No, Bad Dudes is awesome.
No, like the first half of Bad Dudes is pretty great. Me and my buddy Brian, we were playing in the we beat Bad Dudes in the arcade. Halfway through, we're just like, can we stop now? This is terrible.
This is no longer fun.
It was so much fun for like the first three levels. They were like, wow, this is awful. There's just nothing going on here. This is brutal. All right, next up is a game I know almost nothing about, so I'm going to defer to you, sir. Tell us about China Warrior for TurboGrafx-16.
China Warrior for the TurboGrafx-16 is a side-scroller. It's sort of in like a spiritual successor to Kung Fu on the NES, but way bigger sprites and it was just quicker. But it's just a side-scrolling Kung Fu game. I mean, there's really not much to it. There's not much more depth than that. I remember really loving it when I was a kid because, like, it was one of those things that the TurboGrafx was able to do well was to put really big characters on the screen.
Yeah.
And this one really, really took advantage of that. But, like, it looked cool. For the time, like, it's not one of those games that has aged very well. But it looked cool for the time. It played well. You know, the characters controlled well, like, with your limited moveset and whatever. It's a pretty basic game, though. Much in the same way that Kung Fu is.
And do you mean Kung Fu Master?
Yeah.
Okay. Because No, you mean Karate Champ, not Kung Fu. Because I'm looking at this right, and I'm looking at a YouTube playthrough of it right now, and it's like a one-on-one fighter, and slow as hell, like Karate Champ.
No, that's the boss fight.
Oh, that's the boss fight?
Yeah.
There's stages in this? Oh my god, there are stages in this. Oh wow, yeah, I see what you're talking about. Yeah, this is very Kung Fu.
Yeah, it's
a bigger Kung Fu. Like, the sprite is a quarter the size of the screen.
Oh yeah, he's huge.
This is absolutely absurd.
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was so cool.
And he's totally Bruce Lee.
He's 100% Bruce Lee, but like he moved cool, like he looked good, you know. Like you're just kicking the shit out of monks and moths while you're walking around. Like it's like
punching sticks and fireballs at the moment. Like who's throwing these sticks at him?
Everybody.
It
is entirely Kung Fu up until you get to the boss, and then it becomes like kind of like Karate Champ, but still kind of like Kung Fu. Yeah, I dug it. I thought it was awesome.
This is crazy. I should play this game.
It's fucking fun, man. Well, actually, I don't know that it would be fun now, but...
I just want to try it. I'm like, this game is ridiculous.
we should do, maybe for the summer series this year, we'll do Black Belt Kung Fu and China Warrior all in one episode.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Maybe throw My Hero in there as well. Because I love My Hero and nobody else does.
I play the Sega card version with the best box art of all time.
That's right.
All right, and I guess the last one we'll talk about is Super C at the arcades.
What a piece of garbage that was.
You know what I hate about this game?
Everything.
The name.
Oh, it's such a terrible name.
Because every time I want to alphabetize my Contra games, you've got Contra, Super C, and Contra Through the Alien Wars. Screw you, Konami. Yeah, call it Contra 2. How very dare you?
What a fucking liberty. It is Contra 2. Just put it as Contra 2.
And like, it wasn't even Super Contra. It was Super C.
I
like,
know.
That
does not make any sense.
It doesn't,
as
like,
far as
here's
the
what we're going to do. We're going to make a game that is technically superior to the original Contra in every way, but we're just not going to put the word Contra in the title. We're just going to let people figure that out. They remember the C, right? They'll be like, yeah, they'll see that C and say, yeah, this is the sequel to Contra. You no. assholes.
Yeah.
Because Super C... Now, granted, I don't have much experience with the arcade version of Super C.
Mm-hmm.
I know the NES game backwards and forwards. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, great first level.
Video. Yeah, we're coming out of the... Well, it is just straight up called Super Contra in the arcade. Look at that.
Yeah. But an absolutely amazing first level. Like, yeah, what I really liked about the first level of Super C... is that, unlike the original Contra, like, there is a ton more shit going on in this first level. Like, it just drops you into, like, this fucking nuclear wasteland. Like, there's no reason the background should be all pink and purple and shit. Like,
yeah, it's
something bad has happened. You're in this military industrial complex. There's a ton of power-ups and whatnot.
Bananas in the arcade version of this. I don't think I've ever actually seen the arcade version of Super C before this very moment, and holy crap, it's nuts. But also, I gotta say, the NES port is really spot on.
It really is.
Like, it's colored very different, because this is a lot more purples, and, you know, it's got, like, scrolling and whatnot going on, but it's the level layout is pretty much the same.
Well, they didn't, you know, they were working within the limitations of what the NES could do at the time.
Yeah, well, no, I just got to a part where a giant wall of guns came out of the ground. That didn't happen in the NES game.
No.
There's that tank. Kill that tank. Dude, the spread gun is so weird looking in this. It's, like, multicolored. It's green, white, and occasionally red. It doesn't look like he's shooting tomatoes.
I do like the tomatoes.
I like the tomatoes, too. I think it's a better look. I think the spread gun in this game is downright silly looking. How dare you?
I do hate the way that they jump in the arcade.
Yeah, the animations of the main character are very weird looking here.
He does like a pike.
Yeah, there's
like
a lot
of...
Like,
it's not a flip, it's a pike, which is a weird way to jump.
Nobody does that. Not that Contra is perfectly realistic, but what's happening in this game is more than a little unnatural.
Yeah. It's a badass game, though.
What are the other stages like? I'm curious, like, do they have the top-down segments in this? What is stage?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, look at that. They do. Mm-hmm. I really liked this, too. I thought the top-down segments were great, and they were a very welcome change from the over-the-shoulder levels, which were, like, a neat idea, but really in practice, they're not great.
No.
In the original Contra. They worked a lot better in the arcade.
There's a reason Commando is such a badass game on the NES. No. And, like... oh god, what was the TurboGrafx-16 one? It was a Ninja Scroll?
Ninja Scroll.
It might not Let's be TurboGrafx-16. No, I might be losing my mind here.
Well, the Ninja Scroll was an anime, I know that.
No, I know that. Oh god, what the fuck is the game? No, it's a Master System game? God, I think I put it on my top 10 list. This is how tired I am.
Well, let's see. Let's look at your top 10 list. Ninja Spirit?
Ninja Spirit, thank you.
Aha!
Why did I say Ninja Scroll? Now I gotta go watch Ninja Scroll.
What does Ninja Spirit look like?
But like Ninja Spirit, or no, just The Ninja, the Sega Master System game, not Ninja Spirit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I'm looking at Ninja Spirit.
I'm losing my mind.
Ninja Spirit, like
totally
this.
Different thing.
That's more like Ninja Gaiden.
Anyway, the ninja on the Master System is like Commando, in that like top down view, but instead of a soldier, you're a ninja. And it was awesome.
I was unfamiliar with this. Yeah, this game looks crazy.
Oh, it's so good. I love this game. This is how I know I'm tired, though. Like, I can't even remember the stuff that I like anymore.
Well, I mean, not for nothing. It's not like this game has a generic name like The Ninja.
I've never played any other ninja games after this one either, so this one's obviously very easy to remember.
Well, there was also the let's not forget Ninja Shadow of Darkness for PlayStation.
Mm.
As opposed to like all those Shadows of Light. What do you mean Shadow of Darkness? That's what a shadow is, jackass. It's
really dumb. Oh goodness. Yeah, we should do a whole ninja thing for the summer series as well. Oh yeah, like I'm scrolling through a video now. There was like this weird segment where like you're running through a village and these Kunoichis would like jump from behind buildings at you. It's nuts. Mm-hmm. This game's awesome.
Great box art too.
Everything.
Actually, of this kind of Master System box art, the one with like that looks like a toddler drew the artwork and it's on the white so graph paper. Like this one ain't so bad, you know.
It's like before they want to sell it.
Dude, seriously, I'm actually writing a blog about it this week on the Stone Age Gamer blog about Master System art, because like some of this shit's like really awesome. You look at the ninja, and I know a lot of it wasn't specific to the Master System versions, but like, you know, look at the Ninja Gaiden cover art for Master System. It's amazing. Like, mm-hmm. It's so awesome. But then you go back to like the greatest evolution is the Wonder Boy games, because yeah. You look at the first Wonder Boy and it's like this child's drawing of a little caveman jumping over a snail, and then the second one is this like kid with a giant creepy head in a normal proportioned knight body chopping at another knight, and then the third one is just like, and now there's a guy with green hair, and this lizard man is super fat and he looks like he's on a skateboard for some reason. It's really weird,
because why not?
Because why not? Like, so weird. Master System box art is fascinating, man. And they all incorporate that weird graph paper shit going on, and I don't know why.
So strange.
Who thought that was a good idea?
Black Belt is by far the best.
Any of the Sega card games are really just the absolute masterpieces of Master System, because it's just a picture of the card. It's a picture of a hand holding the card.
Fantastic.
It's absolutely fantastic.
So fantastic. Anyway, so Super C.
Yeah, Super Contra, super awesome game.
Really, really good stuff. You're not wrong. The top down stuff was very cool, as opposed to that over the shoulder thing. Mm-hmm. Really cool bosses. It's one of the rare arcade games where I actually do prefer the home version. Like of the time,
yeah,
like
same
I
here.
Think it just looked and played better.
Yeah, it seems to play a bit smoother than the arcade game feels chunky.
It does.
You know what I mean? It just has this very kind of chunky feel to it. But I'm actually going back to the YouTube video because I want to see if they get the flamethrower, because that was one of the things I loved about the NES Super C was the improvement to the flamethrower, because the flamethrower was just a terrible weapon in the original game.
Oh, it was garbage.
The slow, absolute slow spinny garbage. Fireballs. And then in Super Contra, the flamethrower became these like just fireballs of death that would explode when they hit their target. And
yeah.
All of a sudden, now the flamethrower is a really great weapon. It looks like they're doing this whole playthrough that I'm looking at with just the spread gun. Like, I don't think they're... I think they're doing a no-death run, so that's no fun for me.
Yeah, nobody wants to watch that. Oh, look, you're good at the game. Woo.
All right, it's super... God, this game looks super cool. They're at the last boss right now. Right? Mm. No, that's the middle of the game. I'm a jackass. Boy, oh boy, so much cool stuff here. Super Contra's awesome, man. There needs to be a new Contra game. Why hasn't there been a Contra game in a while?
I don't know.
When was the last Contra?
I don't know. Wasn't Hardcore, was it? What was the Ashley Wood designed one? Was that Hardcore? Well,
you mean like the game that was just Hardcore, whatever the hell? It was like a spinoff. It wasn't actually a Contra game.
Yeah.
It was like Hardcore or something or other. Let's see. Hardcore Uprising.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was 2011. Technically, Contra Rebirth was the last Contra game back in 2009.
Does that count?
Yeah, it was a brand new Contra game. It was just only on WiiWare.
Ugh.
And then before that was Contra 4, which was so goddamn good.
It really is good.
Contra 4 was awesome. That needs to be ported to a home console somehow.
Yeah.
The giant vertical screen. They can make it work somehow. Make it happen. That game was gorgeous and amazing. Contra, let's see, there was a cell phone Contra game in 09. Ugh.
Yeah,
Hardcore Uprising was an Arc System Works. And it is actually officially a Contra game, even though it doesn't have Contra in the title. Boy, that's weird.
That is weird.
Whatever.
All right.
Well, that's it for us.
It was a weird episode. That was our show.
It was a weird episode. We're both exhausted. Yeah. But hey, what are you going to do? All right, that's our show. Thank you for listening. Join us next week as we're going to start our Creators Month. All of February, we're going to be interviewing some of our favorite video game-related creators, starting with author Brett Weiss, who has a Super Nintendo book coming out that actually features Dan and myself in it, as well as many other people that have played Super Nintendo games over the years.
Yeah, I really can't wait for those nice residual checks to start coming in off this book.
Yeah. All those fat stacks and nothing we're going to get for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fame and fortune, mm-hmm. minus the fortune. Once again, or you fame. Can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content. Follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade, or find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris, and Dan is at
Geekade Dan.
If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for coming back and editing this show. And in the meantime, thank Dean for editing the show and making it listenable for all you folks. And we'd also like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme song. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on geekade.com for even more fresh original content. That is it, everybody. Thank you for listening. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.